Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to gather in your house once again at this midpoint of the week here to be able to recharge our batteries and be able to go out here into the world and face the wiles of the devil. We thank you so much for the opportunity. Please open our hearts and minds as we get into your word and give us exactly what we need to be able to get out there and do the work you have set before us. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. All right, continuing our studies here on the basic training for Christians. We are now at the second section of the 12 points to remember about the Holy Ghost. We covered items 1 through 6 last time. Now we'll get into item number 7 here on our list, which is each Christian has received a command from Christ to be filled by the Holy Ghost. It's not that we just receive the Holy Ghost, but we need to be filled, which means to be fully indwelt, fully in connection with, fully in harmony with the Holy Ghost that is within us as Christians. Because we can, as we'll get into here shortly, even grieve the Holy Ghost, suppress Him, as the analogy we've used so often is, we could tie Him up and gag Him and throw Him in the trunk and be driving our vehicle down the way that we want to, rather than yielding to the will of God through the Holy Ghost. Because when we get saved, we receive the Holy Ghost. But how much influence the Holy Ghost has in our lives is dependent upon how willing we are to accept the influence of the Holy Ghost in our lives and to be filled by the Holy Ghost or filled with the Holy Ghost is a reference to being in union with Him, to be in cooperation with Him, to be in dwelt to the point where we are accepting the influence that the Holy Ghost has in us. Accepting the will of God in our lives. Because as it says, He is omnipresent. He is within us. He is everywhere at the same time. Right here within us, each of us lives the third part of the Trinity. Each of us that has given their lives over to Jesus Christ, that is. But those that are out there that are lost, that have not yet received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, does not have the Holy Ghost living in them. So it's only to the Christians. And it is to every Christian. It's not a secondary process that you have to go through in order to receive the Holy Ghost into your life, into your soul living within you. It comes into you at the point of your salvation, as we've already studied in the Scriptures. And we know that the amount of influence in our lives is dependent upon how cooperative we are with the Holy Ghost. So we have to yield to the will of God. Well, how do we know the will of God? By studying His Word and praying and listening as the Holy Ghost influences us, because that's that. Some people will call it the conscience that we have. Some people will call it the little voice within us. I don't know how little, I mean, it's a pretty big voice if we yield to it and listen to it. But if you will right now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 17. Reads, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Well, how do we know what the will of the Lord is? By studying the Word of God, by prayer, and by listening to His direction and His guidance by way of the Holy Ghost that lives within us as Christians. Continuing in verse 18, it reads, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And that Spirit is the Spirit of God. We need to be filled with that Spirit that is available to every born-again Christian. Not every born-again Christian and has to go through a secondary process and kneel down and ask the Holy Ghost to come into them. And then you have the gift of speaking in tongues, and that's evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. And if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. That, I don't know where in the world them people come up with that, but that is wrong. The gift of speaking in tongues is another one of the gifts and evidence of having a presence of the Holy Ghost in them. Sure, but that is not the only evidence of having the Holy Ghost in you, as we will get into as we further continue the study. But now let's look at item number 8, which is the Holy Ghost within us is grieved or made sorrowful when we sin and do not live a God-glorifying life. We can grieve the Holy Ghost within us. We can suppress Him. We can, as we said earlier, tie Him up, bind Him, throw Him in the trunk, and ignore Him. And that grieves Him when we ignore His influence that He wants to have over us. Because His influence is our guidance that we need as Christians. And that's available to us if we will yield to the will of the Holy Ghost within us. All right, now look at, flip back here a little bit to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, we see, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." That's how we are sealed. That's how we have that security of our salvation. It's by way of the Holy Ghost. He is the seal, and it comes to every Christian that is born again. Okay, now let's look at our next item, which is number 9, which reads, "When we grieve the Holy Ghost, we do not lose our salvation, but we lose our joy of our salvation. And we are miserable as Christians until we confess our sins and our shortcomings and get back into the graces of God and in that fellowship with God." You say, well, how can we get back into the fellowship of God if we've grieved Him? The way we grieve Him, of course, is by disobeying Him, by ignoring Him, by tying Him up, throwing Him in the trunk, and that stresses, or I should say grieves, and makes sorrowful the Holy Ghost when we ignore Him. Just like if you had a child and you're trying to give him some guidance and they're just totally ignoring you, they're going against everything that you're trying to help them with and give them the kind of guidance which will help their lives, improve their lives, and it helps a relationship when they yield to your direction. And when they don't yield to your direction, that makes you sorrowful. The same way with the relationship with the Holy Ghost. If we ignore Him, if we go against His direction, if we go back into the world, start wallowing around in our sins, that grieves the Holy Ghost, as we've seen in item number 8. And we will be miserable when we don't have a good relationship with God. We will lose the blessings of the Holy Ghost, which we will get into further along in this study, and we'll point out that one of the blessings of the Holy Ghost is that joy. So if you want to return to that joy of your salvation, you need to return to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. He has made provision for us to have that forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 reads, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So if you're truly a born-again Christian, you're going to walk in the light, you're going to listen to the Lord, and you're going to have the fruits of a Christian. And if you're walking in the darkness, you claim that you're a Christian on Sundays, then all during the week you're walking in darkness, you're most likely just a plain old liar and are a false Christian. You're not truly born again. You have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Lord being the ultimate authority in your life. And the truth is not in you, as it says here. In verse 7 it reads, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." We can go to Him. As it continues here in verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Because the Scriptures tell us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us has sinned sometime in our past. And as a Christian, you're not going to walk. I have yet to find anyone that has walked a perfect life other than Jesus Christ. And there's no one out there that has been able to walk the perfect life. And if you do fall away, if you do sin, he gives us a provision here in verse 9. It reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we know that we're sinners and that we can fall again. Even when we're Christians, there's still the possibility of you falling again. So what do? You bring it to the Lord. You get it washed in the blood. So there is provision. So if you have grieved the Holy Ghost, if you have fallen away, if you have sinned, bring it back to the Lord. Get it washed in the blood. Regain the joy of your salvation that is available to you as a Christian. I'm not saying that it's a process where you get born again and again and again and again. It's not that at all. But you can have an option to be able to wash it in the blood once again. You can bring that to the Lord and get it washed in the blood and get back on the straight and narrow and quit grieving the Holy Ghost and get into the graces of the Lord and get on that straight and narrow that we need to be on as Christians and have the full joy of our salvation. Continuing now in item number 10 on our list of things to remember about the Holy Ghost, and item number 10 reads, the unpardonable sin can only be committed by the unsaved, and is a willful, deliberate rejecting of Jesus Christ unto death. And also it is the denying of the power and of the existence and influence of the Holy Ghost itself, himself. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, it reads, then was brought unto him, brought unto Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doeth not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So they were saying that the work that Jesus Christ was doing was by Satan, not of God. And that is extreme blasphemy there. Continuing in verse 25, it reads, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. And verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. No forgiveness for blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. Those Pharisees that did that, that went up against Jesus, saying that his work was of Satan, not of God, blasphemed the Holy Ghost, did not get forgiveness for that, will not get forgiveness for that. And another aspect of this sin unto death that it speaks of in item number 10 is that if we reject the influence of the Holy Ghost in beckoning us to come in, to give our lives over to the Lord, to receive Him as our Lord and Savior, to become born again. If we reject that over and over again, then we, as it says over in the book of Romans, will be given that reprobate mind. If you will, let's go ahead and turn over there. Romans chapter 1. Such an awesome verse that applies to today so strongly. Covers so many things that are in the condition of man's heart today. Let's go ahead and pick it right up in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, but God hath showed it. For God hath showed it unto them. God has revealed Himself to all mankind. They deny that, but they can not have an excuse, as it continues and tells us here in verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Even the fact that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost can be revealed through God's creation. As it continues here, so that they are without excuse. No one will be able to stand a judgment day and say, hey, nobody told me about you, or nobody gave me a Bible tract, or nobody called me, or nobody knocked on my door and told me anything about you, so I should get a free pass and be able to go on into heaven. It don't work that way. God has revealed Himself to every man on this planet, man, woman, and child. Everyone will have an opportunity of salvation before their death. Unless they, of course, die before the age of accountability or have been murdered in the form of abortion. They, of course, will not be accountable and go immediately to heaven upon their death. But anyone else that has reached the age of accountability has no excuse whatsoever for turning down the Holy Ghost. And as it continues here, we'll see what results from that. Continuing in verse 21, it reads, because that when they knew God, everyone on the planet knows God. They know of His existence. They can deny it, but truthfully, everyone has been given, before they die, everyone has been given the realization of the existence of God. Continuing in verse 21 again. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They start standing on their own knowledge. They start standing on the knowledge of man instead of the knowledge of God. Continuing in verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things, speaking of the little idols that so many have created, or speaking of the earth worshippers, or those that worship animals, or those that have put the world, the planet, and the animals above man and above God, those earth worshippers that we deal with so much of their influence in this world today, speaking of them, continuing in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God backed off and said, all right, have at it. Dwell in all the sin you want. When you start resisting the call to come to the Lord, when you deny the existence of God, when you deny the fact that He has revealed Himself to you, then He backs off and lets you start wallowing in your sin, starts letting you go ahead and worship the planet, worship the animals, worship your own lusts, as it continues here in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They start worshipping, like I said, their own desires, their own personal pleasure, worshipping the planet, worshipping the animals, all these off-the-wall, way, way extremist environmentalists and so forth can be put into this category. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should all go out here and trash the planet and abuse animals. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying these extremists that have taken it to a point where they're worshiping and lifting the importance of an animal up above man or above God even. That's who I'm speaking of, and that's who the Scripture is speaking of here, to the point of worshiping it, that have totally devoted their lives to the planet and to animals and ignoring the work of the Lord. It's continuing here in Romans chapter 1, verse 26. It reads, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." When you turn away from God enough, He's going to back off and let you go into your vile affections. "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." What's that? That's lesbianism. And as it continues here, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." And boy, do we have that influence in this world today, in this country especially. I mean, they just passed all those new laws, those votes that come in, and we've got more states that have started to allow this same-sex so-called marriage and this homosexual and lesbian marriage, which is an abomination unto God, and that's what he's speaking about right here. As it continues, we'll see what they have become. In verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," they don't want to think about God, they don't want to know about God, because they know then there's accountability for those lifestyles. Continuing, "God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." What is a reprobate mind? That is a mind that God no longer works with, no longer has an influence in, no longer is calling in for salvation. That door of salvation has closed upon them. That is that unpardonable sin. That is that sin unto death in item number 10 there. When they reach that point, then God just lets them wallow in all their sins. As it continues here in verse 29, it reads, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." That sure sums up the attitude of a whole lot of folks in this world today. Continuing in verse 32 here, "Who, knowing the judgment of God," they know they're doing wrong, "that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." They love it when they get somebody else to come in and wallow in their sinful activity and go down that same pathway to hell. That is that sin unto death. That is that unpardonable sin. Rejecting of the Holy Ghost, rejecting of His influence, rejecting of His power, rejecting of His work, and winding up being doomed for eternity in hell. Okay, enough on that one. Let's move on into number 11. "Christians should manifest the fruits of the indwelling Holy Ghost, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance." In Galatians, we can see here in chapter 5, in verse 22, it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." All those things are permitted. All those things are good. All those things are godly. They are the fruits of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will have that love one for another, the love and desire to spread the gospel because you have that love. You will have joy, joy of your salvation, and you won't be going around all doom and gloom all the time. You'll have that joy. You'll feel great being a Christian. And the peace that passeth all understanding, the scriptures tell us about. So when you go into a bad situation, you'll have that peace, that calmness, but the world cannot understand it because they have not that. And long-suffering or patience, when you're dealing with someone, you'll have that patience. When you're dealing with a child or with an adult, whichever, you'll have that patience. Gentleness. It won't be all brutish. Goodness instead of evil. And faith. Faith in God. It comes from studying His Word and digging into Scripture and letting that influence of the Holy Ghost fill you. And meekness. That's that power under control. And temperance. Controlling your temper and not flying off the handle. Against such there is no law. That's awesome that we have those. All right, let's look at number 12 on our list here. And it reads, every believer has at least one spiritual gift and will have to give account to God for how he has used his life and his spiritual gift and or gifts. You got at least one, but that don't mean you have only one. You may be blessed with more than one. Now, some people say that the only gift of the Holy Ghost that everyone has is speaking in tongues. That if you don't speak in tongues, then you don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, that's total lie because there's nowhere in the scriptures that tell you that. So I don't know where they come up with that junk, but don't fall for that. The gift of speaking in tongues is an individual gift, evidence of the Holy Ghost. Yes, so are these other gifts. Are evidence of the Holy Ghost. So are these fruits that we just went over evidence of the Holy Ghost? Because when you become born again, you have the Holy Ghost automatically. So don't think that the only way that you know whether you have the Holy Ghost or not is whether you speak in tongues. That's just one of the many gifts. As we'll go over a few of them here, and if you will, turn over to Romans chapter 12 in verse 6 here. It reads, having then gifts differing to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, if you will, flip over to Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11. We see here the list of the gifts also in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It reads, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, let's look at one more quick scripture reference. The entire chapter of 12 of 1 Corinthians goes into details about the spiritual gifts. But for time's sake, let's look at verse 28 here. I urge you to read the entire chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, it reads, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and speaking in tongues. And it asks the question, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, we don't all have the same thing. We're not all supposed to have the same thing because we are different individual members of the body that come together and work for the Lord. So look at what the Lord has given to you. Use what the Lord has given you to His fullest. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Acknowledge who He is. Get that joy of your salvation and be the kind of Christian you should be by listening to the Holy Ghost and not grieving Him. We're out of time, so let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much.